There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
All right, let's go to the news today. Authorities, we mentioned this at the top. We were talking earlier to Mohammed Suleiman. He's looking at this for the Area News Centre today. But the authorities are taking steps to make it easier for people with disabilities to get around. The Roads and Transport Authority say they're trying to transform the infrastructure in the older parts of the city. It's in an effort to make it more accessible. They're also working more closely with private companies to help them revamp things like entrances to buildings. For example, Mohammed Suleiman's been talking to Ahmed Mahboub, who is the Executive Director of Customer Service at the RTA. He talked to him earlier today, and he explains what they're doing to better accommodate all residents.
This has started long back, not now. We've started since the early stages of designing the metro, where we've embedded the best practices and all the guidelines in terms of universal design that will make it accessible to all kinds of disability. Adding into it, we looked also at other segments, non-public transport users, somebody who will have his own car. What sorts of facilities do we provide? Exemptions, dedicated parking, the waive of the fees that he needs to pay to register his car. Things like how also do we provide a remote kind of services and availability of information and our smart and online and electronic platform. And also we are working closely with the Executive Council in the transformation of the city in terms of also reaching out for other old areas and how do we connect it in a universal way. So what would be the universal design that buildings should have, transport should have, so they are both providing that seamless kind of a journey.
That's Ahmed Mahboub from the RTA, who also told Mohammed that private and public entities in Dubai need to work more closely together to make the city more accessible for people with disabilities.
So we need to work together. We need to work along with private, with public, with legislation, with rules, with private sector, with everybody, and just sharing the same vision of making Dubai a friendly city for people of determination. We are doing so many things at a time, and we will keep on doing, and we will keep on learning. We wish and we hope to hear back from this segment and from everybody who is using our services, and how can we make it better, and how can we even customize things just to make it work for everybody. It's a long journey, but we are all into it, and definitely we will be reaching there even before 2020.
That's Ahmed Mahboub, who is the Executive Director of Customer Service with the RTA, talking to Mohammed Suleiman. Authorities in Dubai, in particular the RTA in this instance, trying to transform infrastructure in the older parts of the city. So, you know, ramps into some of the older buildings, things like that, to make things slightly easier.
Yeah, you think about it. When new places are built, it's a consideration. But things that were built in the past, perhaps, don't have those facilities. They're not as accessible. So what they're really trying to do is transform the older parts of the city so that it matches with the rest of Dubai.
That's quite right. Let's move on to a second story, NLT.
Yeah, this story is about human trafficking. Basically, it's the story that there's tens of millions of human trafficking victims across the world, and now is the time to stamp out the practice. Those are the words of United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres, who was speaking just last week in New York. Initiatives are being introduced across the world to combat the issue locally. Emirates Airline today announced that it has developed a new learning module for its cabin crew, which is specifically aimed at preventing human trafficking. The carriers teamed up with the British government to roll out the new course, which will also be part of training requirements for other airport ground staff from this month. Natasha Thomas has the details.
The course will be included as part of the aviation security program offered by Emirates Group Security in collaboration with an Australian university. It teaches staff to observe and recognize the behavior of potential offenders and includes insights into the main behavioral traits of traffickers as well as victims. They'll also be shown case studies where there has been successful interception and subsequent prosecution of offenders. Apart from combating trafficking, the e-learning module also covers other types of crime on board, including drug smuggling and theft. Onboard crew are not the only ones being trained. Starting this month, the course is also being taught to airport ground staff. Officials behind it say airlines have a vital role to play in combating crimes such as human trafficking, and initiatives such as this are an important way of ensuring that those on the front line know what to look out for and what to do. This is Natasha Thomas reporting for the ARN News Centre.
Yeah, Natasha Thomas there reporting on the human trafficking training. Emirates Airline have announced today that they're developing new learning modules for cabin crew and ground staff from this week.
How much do you spend online on your retail therapy online every month?
I, at the moment, zero. Don't really do any shopping online at the moment. It's not something I do, so this has shocked me.
Well, then you are bucking a trend. I'm with you on this. Residents in the UAE spend more than 1,500 dirhams a month shopping online. New report, Adelshaw Goddard are behind it. They found that retail is still very much a bricks and mortar business here in the Emirates. We probably know that. We all go to malls, but it's picking up steam online. Retail therapy is starting to work. 1,500 dirhams is the figure. The report also reveals that close to 60% of products bought online are from overseas vendors. We've heard from Lowry Lloyd today, who's the legal director at Adelshaw Goddard, who's been explaining what steps retailers in the region can take to better connect to customers.
Retailers here in the UAE, particularly in light of Amazon's recent acquisition of Souq.com and the launch of Noon.com, that there is a shift towards the digital platforms. And I think retailers could really think about online and what they could be offering their consumers and making that more attractive to their consumers and tapping into that market. I think retailers also need to be thinking about the upcoming implementation of the VAT regime, which will come into force on the 1st of January 2018. Which will be could impact on retail spend here in the UAE. So it's something that they need to be mindful of and need to be ready for and need to have systems in place to deal with that, as well as examining the impact it could have on their pricing.
And that was Lowry Cleward, Legal Director at Adelshaw Goddard, explaining what steps retailers in the region can take to better connect with their customers. Average spend of 1,500 dirhams a month. That's not really the tale with you and I, Tim, with our online retail habits, is it?
I think that's interesting, but then I suppose when it averages out, if some people are spending a lot of money buying whatever they, designer goods, whatever it is online, phones, etc., if you average out over the population or over the course of this survey, maybe it comes to that, but it seems like a lot of money to me. Would you spend that much? Text us in if you do, or you think, no, there's no way we're anything like that level. Be interesting to hear.
Maybe,
usual numbers.
Maybe we're just really quite tight. Couldn't think of a better way to say that.
Speak for yourself.
I saw 1,500. That's quite a lot of money.
That'd buy your husband a cake for his birthday, wouldn't it?
No, I'm making that by hand. It's not his birthday.
His promotion. I mean,
I'm doing that by hand, Tim, as you well know.
Yeah, I know.
These fair hands.
We're going to post some pictures of that on the Dubai Eye Facebook page. Oh yeah, don't you worry. It's Drive Live. That's where we are. We are going to look at some more news in a moment and also hear more about gun control calls in the United States.
This is Drive Live with Natalie Lindo-Taylor and Tim Elliott.
Lots of people texting about the amount that they spend online, which is interesting. Let's take a couple. Easy to spend online. It's cheaper buying than buying the same items locally, sometimes even with shipping costs, somebody is observing. Al says, I buy lots of things online from the US, not the UAE. Items I want are often cheaper, including the shipping costs. The range is the differentiator, says Al. So same kind of thing, same but different, I suppose.
Yeah, I guess, and I guess that's what they're saying here. The online market is that there's a great space for people to be in now because, there's a chance to bring it in line with other online retailers across the world, I guess.
Well, that's the thing, and it is the opportunity that this kind of report points to, isn't it? 60% of products, I think it was 58, nearly 60% of products bought online are from overseas vendors. So now with Noon.com, Souq.com, with the Amazon investment, etc., I suppose that's going to change. Initiative announced on Monday. If you've not seen Richard Dean doing his push-ups on the Dubai Eye Twitter feed or the Facebook page, that's worth looking at. It's quite good.
It is. You mentioned it and I hadn't seen it, so I went
did
to have a look.
It?
Yes,
yeah.
I did. Bless him. I would not have wanted to do that.
No. Don't. It's not. Bless him is, he tried. That's what that means. I thought he was quite good. I thought his legs were a little bit far apart. I think when you're doing push-ups, are your legs not, feet not supposed to be together? I mean, I haven't got a clue. Are they?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think as long as your shoulders and your back are in the right place when you do them.
Well, let's hope he keeps it up because what's happened is this is Dubai Fitness Challenge and it's we're all being encouraged to get into shape or to just be active for 30 minutes a day. That's the thing. So from the 20th of this month, the idea is that Dubai becomes the most active city in the world with the challenge. It's an initiative. His Highness Sheikh Hamdan bin Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum, the Crown Prince and Chairman of the Executive Council for Dubai Government, is behind this. So take on the challenge, commit to 30 minutes of daily activity, 20th of October to the 18th of November. You can do it by yourself if you're a corporate, if you're a government entity, can't you?
Yeah, you can, and indeed, as a team, mm-hmm. Drive Live are going to take part, aren't we? Yeah. So, I mean, I think, so we've got 10 days to go. Mm-hmm. No, we've not. We've got 2 weeks to go. It's the 4th, isn't it? We've got two weeks to go.
Yeah.
So we've got 2 weeks to go, and we're going to do it. 30 minutes, 30 days.
Does that mean you've got to work up to it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to ease myself in gently. And you said, what did you say you're going to do today? You're going to do a mix of cycling
Mix of cycling and swimming. So that's
cycling
that's
and
idea.
Swimming.
What
okay. I'm going to do a bit of running, mm-hmm. a bit of weightlifting, mm-hmm. and maybe a few exercise classes. Maybe get back to waking up early to do the boxing.
A bit of weightlifting.
Yes.
That really is impressive.
It's and not also, that impressive. It's just, you know, it's easy. It's easier than cycling to me.
Weightlifting is easier than cycling. You're kidding.
Yeah, because you. Yeah, of course it is.
How?
Because it's just like you pick it up, you put it down, you pick it up, put it down. Whereas cycling is like all this coordination and thinking about it, and it's hot outside. At least it's air conditioned in the gym.
I suppose you've got a point there. But the point is just to be active. Doesn't matter what you do. So if you want to take part of this, with this, it's DTCM are promoting a campaign. You're going to see a lot about this over the next couple of weeks. But the idea is just to get out and do something.
Yeah, and if you do, I mean, we are definitely doing this. I know we're having a bit of a laugh now, but we definitely are going to take part. And if you want to join in, you can register online. It's www.dubaifitnesschallenge.com. So you can look at the activities, because this is something that's really being pushed. I know being active, being healthy is a really, really big thing here. So you can look at the different activities. And if you're a bit stuck for ideas, or maybe you've never been to the gym, never exercised before, there's a few things on there for you to get involved in.
Okay, like?
Like, actually, like you suggested, mm-hmm. riding a bike, swimming.
Riding a bike.
These
yeah.
are sort of low-impact exercises that doesn't matter if you've not exercised so much recently. Swimming is good if you can't put any weight on your joints, that kind of thing. So it's quite a good thing to do. But there's lots of guides online to look at and to see what you should be doing. So, yes, Drive Live will be taking part in Dubai Fitness Challenge.
DFC, coming soon. It's 5:26.
This is Drive Live with Natalie Lindo-Taylor and Tim Elliott.
American lawmakers launching efforts to begin the process of changing US laws on gun ownership. The Trump administration doesn't want to talk about it ahead of the president's trip to Las Vegas today, of course, but up on Capitol Hill, members of Congress disagree, saying this is the perfect time. Our US correspondent Priscilla Huff reports.
The man who sprayed this Las Vegas crowd with bullets was one of 55 million legal gun owners in the United States. Authorities are still investigating which firearm Stephen Paddock used from his lethal vantage point, the room in the Mandalay Bay Hotel, and why he opened fire on 22,000 country music fans.
Get down.
The sheer number of dead and injured from the single event is prompting some to argue now is the time to address America's gun laws. U.S. President Donald Trump says that's a discussion for a later date.
What happened in Las Vegas is in many ways a miracle. The police department has done such an incredible job, and we'll be talking about gun laws as time goes by.
Gun ownership is guaranteed under the Second Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, the right to bear arms. But gun ownership is also a hugely divisive issue here, even if many non-Americans have a hard time understanding why it's so easy to purchase a gun here.
Actually, I was quite horrified. Being an Australian, we don't have mass shootings. We have really good gun control. Plus, I'd only left Vegas 2 days before it had happened, so I was very close to staying at that hotel.
I don't understand how a man could even have those guns and shoot so many people.
There's an issue about, I have the main issues, I mean, to lose gun ownership. So I believe it should be stricter control across the U.S.
America's public health officials put the number of gun-related deaths at some 33,000 each year. Avery Gardner is the co-president of the Brady Campaign to Prevent Gun Violence.
93 people in this country died from gun violence on the day before that and the day before that. What happened in Las Vegas shook us to our core. That we allow this epidemic of gun violence to rage on unchecked in our nation is equally shocking.
Some small steps have been taken. Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives Paul Ryan confirmed that a separate piece of legislation to make silencers for rifles and guns easier to obtain has been shelved.
That bill's not scheduled now. I don't know when it's going to be scheduled.
Over the past year, there's been a series of public opinion surveys showing that around 90% of Americans support legislation to require background checks for all purchases of firearms. But legislation to change how guns are bought and sold remains stalled. In 2012, some members of the U.S. Congress pushed for a new ban on semi-automatic assault weapons after a gunman killed 20 children at an elementary school in Connecticut, an effort thwarted by lawmakers. Senator Richard Blumenthal represents Connecticut.
They can take those euphemisms and stuff them, so far as I'm concerned. Enough of the evasions. That it's not time yet, that it won't deal with that problem, that the background check proposal wouldn't have stopped the killer in Las Vegas. That argument is absurd.
U.S. President Donald Trump is posting on social media that everyone is in his thoughts and prayers ahead of his visit to Las Vegas. I'm Priscilla Huff in Washington for Dubai Eye.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.